This northern hymn delightfully squeezes Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, and Pentecost into five joyous stanzas. O Day Full of Grace 503, let's get on our feet and let her rip.
Pastor Will Whedon, leading the hymn sing at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can watch the hymn sing, worship services, and all the presentations from this year's Making the Case Conference. We'll send you an on-demand video link for a donation of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
That's what I'm focusing in on Terri Schiavo. When you say that even though her body, her living human body, again, which has sleep-wake cycles for crying out loud, is there, but she has departed, that's the fundamental mistake we need to highlight.
If you seriously think, if you even entertain for a while, that people have to learn something else before they get to the Word of God, you are never going to get to the Word of God. You're going to be putting up barriers instead of proclaiming the Word of truth.
What you believe about the sacrament of the altar is what you believe about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what you believe about justification and sanctification, the life of the church, and the end times.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has been saying for, well, more than a decade now that there is a confessional revival at work, a return in Lutheranism to the Lutheran confessions, to the Reformation itself, and to those documents that tell us what it is to be and to be as Lutherans. Well, it sounds like he's right, a confessional revival, and yet the challenges are great. But of course, when the challenges are great, the need to confess is all the more. So maybe that's why the challenges are facing us. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, August the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about some of those challenges. We're going to talk about President Harris's address before the convention of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. We'll talk about the persecution of Finnish Lutheran pastors and the Japan Lutheran Church and the ordination of women. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Chris Rosebro in our feature This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, does God demand bold prayers? Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have our four soundbites ready to play for you. When you've heard them in the last half hour, you can vote 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. via Twitter at IssuesETC, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to discuss the challenges to confessional Lutheranism, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Great to be here.
Why was it important for you to recently attend the national conventions of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod here in the United States?
Well, we've been having conversations yearly for a couple of days for probably almost a decade. And in that period of time, we've gotten to know each other extremely well. And we've become dear friends. There's a group of, a half a dozen or so from our side and a half a dozen or so from Wells, including seminary leaders and theologians and commission on theology people and vice presidents. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground and we agree on a whole lot of stuff. And church fellowship is not exactly on the horizon, and that'll happen only by God's doing and giving. But it will happen only if we take theology seriously and talk theologically, and that's what we've been doing. And our respect for each other has grown exponentially. We don't caricature each other and belittle each other for positions. We seek to understand those positions and dialogue about them and come to agreement a lot of times, sometimes not. So I just thought it was time as a goodwill gesture to go. So I went to both, and I was asked to speak at both conventions and simply said, you were right to break fellowship. The ELS broke fellowship in 1955. And by 14 years later, we were in fellowship with the ALC, which began ordaining women 1 year later after we declared fellowship.
So you mentioned these ongoing theological discussions that you've been having for the last decade with the leaders of the Wells and the ELS. Tell us about those in a little more detail. Where has the common ground been found with these other synods?
Well, the common ground has been found on the nature of the scriptures, creation, the full panoply of, well, justification, original sin, synergism, the divine monergism, that is, God is the actor who brings us to faith, predestination, election. There are no differences on those issues. We agree on Christ's body and blood in the sacrament. We agree on baptism. We agree on absolution. The challenges have come on the Office of the Ministry, of course, and yet those challenges are very often more language than absolutely substance. There are substantive differences. We often quip, at least I do, that the Wells practices the Missouri Synod's doctrine of the ministry and we practice theirs. They didn't go through a period of licensed lay deacons or unordained individuals administering the sacraments, etc. We did. So that's something you would not expect. And the question of women in the church is a deep challenge. It's challenging them. Their people are in the same world we are, and they're challenged to figure out how to take full account for half the members of their church who are part of the priesthood of believers. And they work on ways to hear the voices of women members among them. But we have differences there on what's the practice of women in the church voting and participating in governance. But, you know, we're honest about it and talk about it. But there's differences, too, on the nature of fellowship and prayer fellowship. To their credit, you know, and we've had to admit that Missouri changed its position on this issue after World War II, and particularly when those church bodies broke fellowship with us, all of Missouri's attention went toward one Lutheran church in America. And any issues of fellowship or prayer as a sort of a piece of fellowship in some way just dropped off Missouri's radar absolutely completely. And so, you know, I had never even considered the issue. And I found out, frankly, that their position is caricatured quite often. And it is not so rigid as we had thought it was. And they've seen very clearly that we do take doctrine very seriously, and we've been very serious about church discipline and the issues of ecclesiastical oversight. And they realize Missouri is a very big church body, and, you know, we have a lot of challenges. So we found understanding and great friendship, and this is the way, if there's ever going to be fellowship between us again, and we certainly belong in the same house together, but it'll be through taking doctrine seriously, not avoiding it.
Is full fellowship possible between the LCMS and these two other confessional Lutheran synods?
Well, I think the question is, will Missouri's confessional revival continue? We pray and hope that it does. Also, God is at work, and everything's possible when the Lord's in the mix, but it will be in His timing.
You recently traveled to Finland to meet with partner churches there. Why?
I was invited to the consecration of the new bishop, Juhana Pohjola, as bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Province of Finland, which is quite an interesting group. Johanna, I met at the seminary 20 years ago, and he was the first pastor of this group, and they were in the state church formerly, about 10 plus years ago. And because they would not accept the ordination of women, the pastors were defrocked and the people were thrown out of the state building. From then on, they began renting property from the Seventh-day Adventists, who have buildings open on Sunday for a very reasonable price. And they concentrate on obtaining pastors, well-trained Orthodox pastors. And they have grown to about 40 congregations now. The way they grow is they concentrate on providing a pastor. Then when they grow to 100, they split off a group, move 20 miles down the road, and grow another church. And after that, another one and another one. They call it the post-Constantinian model. That is, there are no state supports for them. In fact, the state is opposing them. So I went over for the consecration of the new bishop and just had a marvelous time. We had theological conversations with all the bishops that had come for the event, and to spend time with these Finnish people who have suffered so much. They have, just think how much you love your local congregation or your church building, or how much it means to you. These people who have been in these buildings for families for hundreds and hundreds of years, some of them 1,000 years, had to walk away. Just imagine that. And not walk away, be thrown out. And they are so joyous. They are so Orthodox. 2 days of fabulous sermons and fabulous preaching, means of grace, just fabulous people. We declared fellowship with them, and they with us last year, and so it was great to be able to be present for the event.
You mentioned state opposition. Tell us about the two Lutheran leaders who are being prosecuted by Finland's prosecutor general.
Yes, the bishop, the new bishop, and also Päivi Räisänen. She's a female MP or member of parliament. And she wrote a book in 2004 published by their Luther Foundation. And the book is just a standard Orthodox treatment of the issues of marriage and homosexuality. Expresses the value of every individual person and the value to God of all people created. But it talks about sin. Homosexuality is sin. So amazingly, all these years later, 15 years later, the state prosecutor charged both of them, the bishop because the church body had published the document, with crimes against a minority group and hate crimes. So they have been defending themselves, but very calmly. We in the International Lutheran Council and the Missouri Synod responded with a statement, and we were very, very much involved in the drafting of that statement to the Finnish government, which wasn't about trying to put the toothpaste, cultural toothpaste, back in the tube, or try to say that society is being denigrated by homosexual activity or anything like that. The point we made was, look, it's about preaching the gospel. If we can't preach the law, we can't preach the gospel. And they've been told not to preach the law or speak the law in Finland, a violation of religious rights and free speech rights globally and also for the European Union. So that's the issue. We are going to speak. All sex without marriage is sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And we're all guilty, whether in act or mind. Lust is a terrible sin. And we're going to speak repentance to all people, doesn't matter who. And we're going to do it whether states say it's legal or not, or whether they confiscate our buildings or throw us out or do what they may do. But that's the requisite, the responsibility for preaching the gospel. And we're going to stand with our Finnish friends in doing it. Remarkably, the Wells president and the president of the ELS, the Lutheran Norwegian Synod, Glenn Obenberger, the Wells president is Mark Schrader, signed on with us along with 10 other Wells bodies around the world. That was pretty amazing.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. On the other side, We'll have him respond to some criticism he's received for participating in that consecration service in Finland. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a new resource for children ages 8 through 11. Luther's Small Catechism for Kids contains colorful icons and illustrations to help guide children through each tenet of the Christian faith. Learn more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An easy-to-use resource for teaching the faith in a simple way, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
We're discussing events in worldwide Lutheranism with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You'll find more than 10 hours of teachings, worship services, and the hymn sing on a recording of the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Our speakers this year were Mark and Molly Hemingway, Dr. Robert George, Jack Phillips, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and Pastor Will Whedon. For a contribution of $300 by Labor Day, we'll send you a link to an on-demand video stream. Learn more at IssuesETC.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Matt, before the break, you talked about your participation in that consecration service for the new Finnish bishop. A few have criticized your participation because two of the participants, I believe, were not in full fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I expected some criticism. It was an extraordinary situation. Now, we are committed not to selective fellowship in the Missouri Synod. That is, we have altar and pulpit fellowship with church bodies. However, in this circumstance, it's really the moment for world confessional Lutheranism. And it was absolutely crucial in the face of the Finnish government and the face of the rest of the world, including the Lutheran World Federation, which undermines all the key doctrines of the Book of Concord and the Scriptures, particularly on the sacrament of the altar, homosexuality, and then women's ordination and other things. It was absolutely important to stand up and be counted. This is a partnership we're in fellowship with, number one. It's their service and their responsibility. We declared fellowship with them. They're in fellowship with the two sort of mission dioceses or provinces of this tiny Norwegian church led by Tor Heinrich Witt, which comes from the work of his predecessor, who was a courageous anti-abortion proponent in the state of Norway, who, by the way, when the state passed the pro-abortion law and the king signed it, he simply rejected it, stood up publicly and said no, and did it repeatedly, and verily looked like an Old Testament prophet as he did so. And there's another small group in Sweden of pastors. Pastor Witt was never part of the state church. The pastors in Sweden were all defrocked by the state church, all of them, for rejecting women's ordination and other things. So these people are not having communion with non-Lutherans. They confess the Book of Concord. They don't have women pastors. In fact, they've been thrown out of their churches for having women pastors. And so in this circumstance, I made an exception. I had counseled with a number of key brothers and advisors before heading over and made the decision to participate. And also told the church, especially the district presidents, why I was doing it.
On another front, you have recently publicly called for the Japan Lutheran Church to repent. Why?
The Japanese church for probably 10 years plus has had one and now two so-called deaconesses functioning as pastors. They've now voted in their last convention to change their bylaws to allow to take out the word male for the qualifications for pastor. We'd been talking with them for nearly, I think, probably 15 years on these issues. What happened was, in this case, the church was formed at a very weak period in the Missouri Synod's history and became a partner church 50 years ago this year, ironically, from a mission to a partner church. It operates with a joint seminary with the ELCA partner churches. And therefore, we've known for a long time what's going on at the seminary. The seminary has not produced pastors for our partner church to speak of. And, you know, as soon as you're involved with the ELCA, then the whole issue of universalism is alive, and the question of the authority of the scriptures and worshiping with Lutheran bodies that reject the scriptures and the Book of Concord, carte blanche. So it's a context. We've been over there for hours. We've talked to them. We had Namichi Masaki over there for hours talking Japanese. And then we got this letter out of the blue. And I responded that this cannot stand, that the CTCR will bring a resolution to the next convention to break fellowship formally with the Japanese Lutheran Church. And we will also, we're also looking at our options for the planting of an Orthodox Lutheran Church in Japan.
So you had mentioned this has been going on for about 10 years. And ironically, the administration of the LCMS that preceded you, Dr. Gerald Kieschnick, also expressed deep concern about that move when he was told about it. Tell us about that.
Yes, he did. And Joel Landbauer, at the time, was an assistant to Sam Nasker on the staff of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Joel has continued as part of these discussions, personally and otherwise, through my tenure. And so the position has been quite consistent over these years. And it will, God willing, remain consistent beyond me. But, you know, some people say, well, they don't have enough pastors. We found that these union seminaries are simply not producing pastors for churches. And these union seminaries, that is, seminaries that are joint ELCA Missouri endeavors, and there have been a few of them, thankfully, we're simply acting to get out of those situations with our partner churches. They are death to mission and death to a confessional Lutheranism.
So what's the current relationship between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Japan Lutheran Church?
We officially have church fellowship. Church fellowship is something that can only be ceased by a convention of the Synod. There is some latitude in a process for granting church fellowship to another body. There's a process where if the Commission on Theology has gone through the right steps with a body and the president of synod agrees on that, then we may declare fellowship. We did that in the case of Finland. However, there is no mechanism for the rejection of church fellowship in that fashion. So that will come to a convention, rightly so. And by the way, even when we approve provisionally church fellowship, that has to be approved by an LCMS convention ultimately as well.
More broadly, what are your goals for the LCMS going into the next season of district conventions and the synodical convention?
Well, there's a lot of stuff on the plate, and there always is. And concern for pastors, and we've been able, through the generosity of donors, to fund 30 doxology retreats so far. We're just expanding that into the realm of commissioned ministers and teachers. We continue to do fantastic work, disaster work, and I'm just amazed, as the whole Haiti thing has opened up again, what kind of experience we have in that realm. Our people are just fantastic. We've worked hard on a lot of things. I would say, no disrespect to anybody else, but I'd say we have not had such a strong theologian as president of our St. Louis Seminary since Fearbringer died in 1943. Tom Egger is a tremendous individual with tremendous energy, and he's going to be a blessing to all of us and the church. There's a lot going on with church worker recruitment, etc. But I would finally say this. The culture is attacking us. Our people are being attacked in their work if they don't sign on to certain diversity statements, which include aberrant views about sexuality. We're getting attacked all over the place at our institutions. Our schools are under attack. The culture is attacking us. There is just a siege going on for Christians who actually believe the Holy Scriptures. Our children are being taught in schools things that are absolutely contrary to natural law, let alone the Scriptures. And we must stand firm. And in the midst of all of that, we preach Christ crucified. We will stand, and we will confess, and we will proclaim the name of Jesus. We're not going to huddle up. We're not going to exit the world. We're going to stand where the Lord has placed us in our vocations and speak the gospel. We're going to preach repentance and forgiveness, come what may.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we return, how important is this moment for worldwide confessional Lutheranism?
There are competing stories, competing futures, and so we have competing hopes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
There are the hopes that the world offers, which are uncertain and which are limited to this life only and which offer no meaning in the midst of suffering. And then there is, on the other hand, a Christian hope which is sure and which has an extended horizon. It pushes past even your death and the grave, and it upholds us in the midst of suffering. There's a difference between the way the world hopes and the way the church hopes.
For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc., you can watch an on-demand video stream of this year's conference, including Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case for Christian Hope. Find out more at issuesetc.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app.
Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
The main message is the focus needs to be exclusively on career, with the clear implication that there's this other life that's just sort of waiting for you in the wings, meaning men and marriage, when you're ready. That has proven to be absolutely disastrous for most women.
This was a song that she would have sung throughout her life. And I think it's good to think about Mary singing this song as she's holding the bambino, the baby Jesus, in her lap.
So you have a pretty clear historical divide there, you know, between Republicans being founded to oppose slavery and Democrats being the party perpetuating it. And that continued for a very, very long time in American history.
Trusting your heart is the most idiotic thing you can possibly do. If you're a Christian, to even begin to do this without the discipline of the Word of God around you as an individual and you as a community is utter inanity.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. There's a soundbite from Suzanne Benker, The Culture's Message to Young Women, from Dr. Peter Scare, Mary's Magnificat, from Mark Hemingway, The Democratic Party's History on Slavery, Segregation, and Racism, and from Pastor Jonathan Fisk, The Fool Follows His Heart. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. In the meantime, we're talking about worldwide Lutheranism and the issues surrounding it. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So, Matt, how important is this particular moment, given everything we've discussed, for worldwide confessional Lutheranism?
The issues that are before us culturally are probably unlike any other period in the history of the world, coming upon all culture, all Western culture, and culture everywhere because of the ubiquitous nature of media, and particularly American media. And the homogenizing effect that this media has had on youth culture, for instance. So the church around the world has to stand up and say yes or no. And this is the moment to say yes to Jesus and no to the culture. Yes to the least, the needy, the poor, the suffering, the spiritually hurt. Yes, Christ is for you. Repent and believe the gospel. And we can only do that if we know who this Christ is and have the solid confession of the Holy Scriptures, confessed so beautifully in our Book of Concord. You know, the Book of Concord is written for really one reason. It is a pastoral document, and on virtually every single page, it's concerned about the practical care for people and their consciences hurt by sin. We don't cancel people. We tell them Christ is yours. We have a message for the world, and that's for our neighbors, our families, and everybody we stand in. And for everybody, we have a message for the world. It is for our neighbors, it is for our families, and we will stand and deliver by God's grace.
You, I think, have been saying for your entire tenure as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that worldwide Lutheranism is looking to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for leadership. Talk briefly about that.
It's absolutely true. The Lutheran Church in Latvia, just at its recent synod, not a couple of weeks ago, passed two resolutions which were absolutely phenomenal. Number one, it rejected the Leuenberg Concord, which was a document born in Germany which declared basically no theological reason why Lutherans and Reformed should not be communing with each other, basically parts of one church divided. This is the Prussian Union, and your listeners know what that is, spread thoroughly around the world. The Lutheran World Federation from the beginning has promoted this theology from 1947 on, when it began allowing churches in which did not have a clear confession of the Book of Concord. The Hurria Christian Batak Protestant Church in Indonesia was one of the earliest cases of that. They also then rejected the standing association, or really fellowship, of Reformed and United and Union and some formerly Lutheran churches, which the World Federation has supported. Secondarily, the Latvians voted, and by the way, they voted something like 200-10 to do that. The Latvians also voted with one dissenting vote, one no vote, to join the International Lutheran Council, the Council of the Friends, Partner Churches, and broader Friends of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Missouri Synod has been in fellowship with the Latvians for quite some time, something like 20 years. There were reasons not to go in fellowship with them early, triangular relationships and all kinds of other things. But look what happened. They are the strongest confessing partner we have in Europe, and they're keen on making their confession known broadly. The Missouri Synod, through its missionaries, its church relations work, its many recognized service organizations and other missionary organizations, through the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, has had a profound and huge impact on global Lutheranism, and will continue to have it, so long as we dare to confess our own teaching. And I might say, what is the result of that? Clarity on what the gospel is. Yes, Africa is in the midst of deep challenges, where a third of the continent is Muslim, a third of the continent is Christian, and a third is still practicing animistic religions. And there's a struggle on between Islam and Christianity for that remaining third. However, many of the Christians in Africa are threatened by, maybe the majority, by glory theology, by name it and claim it theology, which does not fundamentally know the gospel. When I say the Missouri Synod's moment is now, and that is global Lutheranism evermore knowing its own teachings about the free forgiveness of Christ without any hooks or provisos, the free forgiveness of Christ found by grace through faith. That is our profound gift and task. It's our witness to the whole world, and that message is being promulgated, and ever more strongly so because of our work, our seminary's work with international partners, also our training and teaching of international students. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And I sit in a chair which allows me to take part in it and see the breadth of what's happening, and I rejoice.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Matt, thank you for not only standing up for confessional Lutheran pastors, but also faithful Lutheran laity.
Thanks so much, Todd. The Lord bless you and all your listeners.
On the topic of worldwide Lutheranism, Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth through research, conferences, and publications. Find out more about this confessional Lutheran worldwide mission outreach at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. When we return, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. Does God demand bold prayers? Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Every pastor knows this phrase. It goes something like this: Pastor, I have a question. In fact, every church worker is familiar with this phrase because the church workers of the LCMS, pastors, teachers, deaconesses, frequently answer questions that are put to them by the people they serve. In the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, the pastors, teachers, and deaconesses of the LCMS answer the questions they are most commonly asked. To get your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.